It's time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. We've got a great interview planned for you today. I'm really excited about it. But before we jump into that, we're going to set the tone with a little bit of live music. This is In the Light by yours truly. Sit back and enjoy.
Walking in light, I turn from what I live in. Ain't no way continue in the struggle I'm in. Living the light, just getting better.
I'm showing my light.
Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. I hope you enjoyed In the Light and it's got you in the mood for this great interview we have planned. I have my good friend Lisa McPhail co-hosting with me today. Hey, Lisa.
Good morning, Carla. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Y'all, Lisa's always doing something big for the kingdom of God.
Yes, hallelujah.
Yes. So thank you so much, Lisa. And
Lisa actually
was on, she was interviewed on the show.
Yes.
So if you missed her show, jump on iTunes and go back and listen to it. I promise you will be blessed.
Yes.
And we're going to be blessed again today because Lisa is back.
Thank you.
And we're so excited. You all, our radio show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find out more information about Love Ministries from their website. Go to loveministriesbuilds.org. And so Lisa and I, we have a wonderful guest today, Susan Robb. Y'all, Susan is a pastor in my church at Highland Park United Methodist Church. Susan is a senior associate minister at HPUMC, and she graduated from the Perkins School of Theology and with honors, right?
Yes.
You got to put that in there.
Awesome.
Yes. So Susan has been married for 30 years. So she's a wife and a mom. And I'm so excited because I was sitting in staff meeting. I believe it was staff meeting when I heard this, that Susan has written a book.
Yeah.
And it's about to come out. So we're going to talk to you all about it, tell you all about it. You're going to be blessed. The name of the book is called Hearing and Responding to God's Voice.
Wow.
Welcome, Susan.
Well, thank you, Carla. I'm so excited to be here today. And thank you, Lisa. It's such a pleasure to get to meet you and to be with you both this morning.
Yes.
Thank
you. We truly appreciate it. We're so excited. And we've had a great conversation already, even before we started. So this is going to be good. We don't want you to miss anything as we go through and talk about the book and talk about Susan's life. So, Susan, the first question is, what prompted you to write this book? How do we get here?
Well, Carla, I'm going to really borrow from something that I've heard you say before, and
okay.
that is, this was a divine appointment.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't think I ever thought that I would be a writer or mm-hmm. write a book, but I do know that when I was in seminary, we had to read about the different call stories of different characters in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And I was fascinated. And there were six of those that really spoke to me. Mm-hmm. And then as I teased out my own call to ministry, mm-hmm. I realized how important those were in my life and how I thought that everyone should resonate with these characters
mm-hmm.
and that they spoke to each of us, no matter who we are and what station of life mm-hmm. that we're in. But more importantly, and we'll probably talk about my call story in a moment, but as I have been in ministry with people for years, I've recognized that a lot of people just don't think that somehow God only calls really great people.
Right.
That God is only certain people are useful for mm-hmm. God's kingdom and to bring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And that's simply not true. Each of us as a Christian is called.
Yes. Absolutely.
Jesus calls his disciples to go make disciples.
Yes. Right.
In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. and to do everything that he teaches. Mm-hmm. And so as Christians, we're all called.
Yeah.
But God calls each of us in unique ways. Mm-hmm. And so what I wanted people to understand through this book is that each person is a beloved child of God.
Amen.
And God has a unique call, or sometimes multiple callings, mm-hmm. for you and your life.
Mm-hmm.
If we just listen to God's voice.
Yes.
And sometimes that comes directly through God.
Yes.
In a thought that we might have. And sometimes that comes through other people. So sometimes that comes in prayer, and sometimes that comes through several people saying,
yes.
to us, have you thought about doing this?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's part of the reason I wanted to, and really I didn't start off wanting to write a book.
Mm-hmm.
I started off feeling nudged about letting other people know, mm-hmm. that we're all called.
Yes.
And what happened was probably 2 years ago, my Bible study that I teach a women's Bible study at the church every Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, if I can't find a curriculum I like, I'll write something myself.
Mm-hmm.
And God had just placed it on my heart that we needed to talk about being called. Sometimes, mm-hmm. we don't feel worthy of being called. We just don't, we think we're inadequate. And so I wrote a workbook study that was a, mm-hmm. 6-week book study, mm-hmm. I mean, a workbook study on these 6 different characters in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
I did it for my class, and when we were finished with it, I sensed God saying to me, you know, you probably should look into having this published. And, uh-huh. so that's kind of how this got started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that.
I
mean,
do too.
And I, like you said, those divine appointments when you, and, yeah. a lot of times, I think for me, you know, when I grew up, when I was younger, and, uh-huh. I've talked about this several, uh-huh. times, I was always, I had a natural love for, mm-hmm. singing and, mm-hmm. for worship. And my mom would say if I was homesick, mm-hmm. for a couple of days, she knew that I was better,
yes.
and ready to get back to school when I got up,
mm-hmm.
and got on the fireplace, which I wasn't allowed to do, but the fireplace was a stage in,
yeah.
the house. So
yes,
absolutely.
Went
up there to,
absolutely.
Worship, you know. And so when you get up, when I would do that, she was like, okay, she's feeling better. She's,
yes.
you know, she's back at it. And so that was, you know, kind of my natural thing. Who knew that that could be a job, though?
Yes.
That
exactly.
was just having fun.
Exactly.
You know? And so these are the things that we, you know, kind of should pay attention to. And
absolutely.
And then, of course, when you said the divine appointments, I mean, this radio show, mm-hmm. that was really, mm-hmm. a divine appointment. Mm-hmm. And that was something that when I started writing down about a radio show, the first answer I gave the Lord was no. You know,
yes,
I don't know anything about
exactly
a radio show.
Yeah.
So Susan, you know, what has been your call story?
Well, Carla, when you talked about being a child and saying, you know, mm-hmm. you love to sing.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've had lots of callings in my life, but, mm-hmm. the one to ministry has been, mm-hmm. where sort of this interruption by God. There's a point in the book where I talk about, have y'all seen the movie Chariots of Fire? In the movie,
yes,
Chariots,
yes.
of Fire, the main character, Eric Little, is, he and his sister are missionaries.
Hmm.
But he's also this great runner, and he wants to interrupt their mission to become this, to go to the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And his sister chastises him and says, we can't do that. And,
mm-hmm.
he said, you know, I know that God has given me a purpose,
mm-hmm.
but God has also made me fast.
Yes.
And when I run,
yeah.
I feel God's pleasure.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes, mm-hmm. those callings,
yes.
that we have, like,
yes.
your calling to be a singer,
yes.
Eric Little's calling to be a runner,
mm-hmm.
those just come from deep within, and we can't deny those because we feel,
right.
such pleasure when we do them.
Right.
I think that call for me started out as being a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I, like you as a little girl, I always had chalkboards in front of my dolls,
right.
trying to teach them something, you know, all
right.
the time.
Right.
And so I was a high school teacher for many years. And then I sensed this call to marriage and,
mm-hmm.
having children.
Mm-hmm.
And then God interrupted my daily life, as God interrupts the lives of all of us sometimes, mm-hmm, and does. Takes us on a different journey.
Yes. He does.
And a call that we could never imagine, mm-hmm, yes, on our own.
Yes.
So we'll find in the book, for instance, Abraham is minding his own business. Mm-hmm. He's old. Mm-hmm. He's barren. He and his wife are barren. Mm-hmm. They've just had a lot of death in the family. And out of nowhere, God, mm-hmm, says, go to the land that I will show you.
Yes.
And I will make of you a great nation.
Yeah.
And I will make your name great.
Mm-hmm.
And your descendants will be as numerous as the stars of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and he interrupts the life of this little boy named Samuel.
Mm-hmm.
Just calling his name.
Mm-hmm.
And he calls Samuel to do some prophetic and hard, yes, things, yes, as, yes, a little boy.
Yes.
He interrupts the life of this Jewish peasant named Esther.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Putting her in a position where she is able, mm-hmm, if she will answer God's call,
mm-hmm, yes,
to save her people.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Mary Magdalene, Jonah, the beloved disciple, all of their lives were, mm-hmm, interrupted.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just minding their own business when either God calls out, mm-hmm, or someone else calls, mm-hmm, out,
yes, mm-hmm,
or Jesus calls out.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
And so in terms of my own call to ministry, mm-hmm, I was minding my own business as a as a stay-at-home mom. I'd been a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I got married. We had children. I was staying home with our children. And my husband and I had both gone on a spiritual retreat called the Walk to Emmaus. Have,
mm-hmm,
you heard of that one?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We'd been to the Walk to Emmaus, and we had sponsored a friend to go.
Mm-hmm.
And then as part of the spiritual retreat, those who are sponsoring attend a communion service, and you, mm-hmm, pray for those who are at the service.
Mm-hmm.
And the spiritual director, who is also a minister, right before the service began, just tapped me on the shoulder, and he said, "Hey, Susan, would you mind helping me serve communion?" I said, "Love to.
Mm-hmm.
That just sounds great. Love to help you serve, mm-hmm, communion." And I said, "But I've never done this before, so what do I do?"
Yes.
I said, "Well, we're going to serve by intinction. I'm going to have the bread. I'm going to tear off a piece of bread and, mm-hmm, hand it to each person that comes through.
Mm-hmm.
And then you will offer the cup. I'm going to say the body of Christ broken for you,
mm-hmm,
and you will say the blood of Christ shed for you,
mm-hmm,
or poured out for you."
Mm-hmm.
And as I was holding the chalice in my hand, mm-hmm, saying over and over again to each person, mm-hmm, the blood of Christ, mm-hmm, given for you, the, mm-hmm, blood of Christ shed for you, in that moment, there's this very surreal experience where I sensed this clear thought in my head, mm-hmm, of God saying to me, "This is what you're supposed to be doing."
Wow. Wow.
And I wondered, well, what does this mean? Does this mean, and looking down at this chalice, does this mean
this?
I'm supposed to be a more involved lay leader at the church?
Mm-hmm.
My husband and I were already very involved. We taught tons of classes. Mm-hmm. We were on lots of boards at the church. But I was like, what does this mean? Am I supposed, mm-hmm, to do more as a lay person? Does this mean I'm supposed to go to seminary to become, mm-hmm, a better educated Sunday school class teacher, mm-hmm, and small group leader?
Mm-hmm.
Or does this mean God is calling me to ordained ministry?
Mm-hmm.
And having two children and kind of living in the swirl of diapers and all that that entails, I sort of pushed that to the back of my mind, but this seed was planted,
yes,
that I'm supposed to be doing, mm-hmm, something else. And so, actually, over the next couple of years, I talked, mm-hmm, to lots of friends at church, other women on staff,
mm-hmm,
and that was the other thing. I grew up in a denomination where women,
right?
I mean, women were wonderful,
right,
but
yes,
you weren't. They weren't called. To, mm-hmm, they weren't called,
right,
to be preachers.
Yes.
And I talked to some other women on staff at our church and listened to their call stories, and, mm-hmm, they said, "You should really just check this out." So I started feeling as if God was calling me at least to seminary.
Mm-hmm.
And one day I prayed and I said, "God, mm-hmm, I don't know, mm-hmm, if this is your idea or just my, mm-hmm, right brain creative imagination,
mm-hmm,
gone wild, and, mm-hmm, if this is my idea. But if this is your idea,
mm-hmm,
I pray that you would let this come through my husband."
Mm-hmm.
And I said this because I never shared any of this with my husband because,
okay,
he didn't marry a preacher.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't think that he probably would be excited about about a change of careers for me at that time in our lives. And so I thought, great. I just sort of figuratively brushed my hands and I thought, that monkey is off my back because there is no way my husband would ever think of this idea. Well, the very day that I said that prayer, the very day that I prayed that prayer, it was our son's kindergarten end of the year soccer tournament. And after it, we all gathered at a hamburger place, all the team and their parents. And we got our burger. We sat down at a table. And then another couple approached us and they said, could we sit with you? I said, yeah, that'd be great. Have a seat. And they brought their son. And then the wife says, guess what I've been doing? I said, what? And she said, I just finished my first semester at Perkins School of Theology. And it has been amazing. And she started telling us all these great stories about being in seminary. And my husband's face kind of went white. And he turned and looked at me and he said, you would enjoy doing that, wouldn't you? And I thought,
goodness.
Oh, that's such a fluke. I thought, and I just nodded at him and said, well, maybe, I don't know. And I thought, oh my gosh. But I still didn't say anything to him. And the very next night, we go to dinner with one of his clients and his wife, and we're all talking, and we get into this theological discussion about Abraham and Isaac and Ishmael. And at one point in the conversation, my husband looks over at his client. And he says, you just watch. Someday she's going to go to seminary. And I thought, oh, man, this is not a fluke.
Right.
And so the next night, he and I go to dinner together, and I said, hey, I looked him in the eye. I said, hey, babe, there's something I need to talk to you about. Mm-hmm. And he looked right back at me, and he said, I know. And so that began a journey into seminary. Yeah. And like Abraham's call, where God says to Abraham, I want you to go to the land that I'm going to show you. And then one of the verses in Abraham's story says, and then Abraham traveled on by stages to the Negev. God didn't unfold to me all at once my journey was.
Yes.
It was step by step stage by stage.
I love that.
And it led to ordination and working at Highland Park United Methodist, where we were already members, which is wonderful that I've been able to be in ministry at my home church for 17 years.
Yeah.
It's been amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been amazing.
I really like that, how God led Abraham through stages. And so that's how God leads us.
Mm-hmm.
It is through stages.
Mm-hmm.
And I just believe that there are some listeners today that are listening to this and called, and it's like, but how do I know I'm called? Yeah, you're called. That's great. But I believe that your calling is something that's natural to you.
Yes.
Because as a child, as we all talked about, I love to talk. Mm-hmm. And I got in trouble in school because I talked all the time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I didn't realize that growing up that God wanted me to be his spokesperson.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a speaker now today.
Mm-hmm.
But he had to take us through stages.
Yeah.
So being called, I love your book because it's hearing and responding to God's voice. So what would you say to some listeners out there today who honestly, they don't feel called? And could they be disqualifying themselves by thinking that?
They are absolutely disqualifying themselves. Well, here's what I would say. You're never disqualified because if you read Jonah's story, God will persist in that call to you.
Yes, he will.
Just as God did with me, God will with you too.
Yeah.
And no one, I think what the great thing about these stories tells us is that each one of these people at some point, either they felt unworthy or they felt inadequate or other people thought they were unworthy or inadequate.
Yes.
They were either too old, too young,
normal feelings,
too inexperienced, too female, not expected. We're not God interrupts the lives of ordinary people like you and me and the listeners every day and says to us, I want you to go to this land that I'm going to show you.
Yes.
And sometimes it's just the land of being nice to the person in the grocery store
line.
And sometimes it's to the land of seminary.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah.
We never know, but God is always calling.
Yes, he is.
And sometimes it's through other people's voices.
Yes.
And sometimes it's through the voice in your head. But God always calls. And every person is uniquely gifted to to be an agent for God's grace on this earth.
Yeah. Awesome. Amen. That is wonderful.
So good.
Yeah. I want to talk more about interruptions, but let us take a break. We're at a break time. So let's take a break and we will be right back.
Every heart, every woman. Every heart, every woman. Every heart, every woman.
You're listening to Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration.
Every heart,
now let's get
every
back
woman.
To the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Well, welcome back to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host. I have my good friend, Lisa McPhail, joining us today, co-hosting.
Hello, everyone.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
Thanks for having me.
Well, y'all, we've been having just the best conversation with Susan Robb. She is a senior associate minister at my church at Highland Park United Methodist Church in Dallas, Texas. And I mean, we've just got so much more that we want to talk about.
So much to say,
so little time. There you go. So we're discussing Susan's book called Hearing and Responding to God's Voice that is coming out very soon.
Yes.
And we've got all the ways that you can get your hands on the book and come and see Susan and hear Susan speak. But we wanted to talk about interruptions, like where we left off. So Lisa, lead us on back in.
Oh my goodness. This conversation is absolutely life-changing about being called. And so those that are listening today, I pray that you're encouraged to know that everyone is qualified to be called.
Mm.
And so once you accept that calling, you become an agent of grace.
Absolutely.
And then you can start making a difference in the lives of others and be encouraged to know that you are significant.
Yes.
You were not created by accident, but you were created on purpose
for purpose.
Yes.
Amen.
And so talking about the interruptions, that's how you're called. It comes as an interruption. I mean, because maybe sometimes you've grown up and you went to college and now you're working in a certain field. But as you're working, you're thinking, I feel like there's something more.
Mm.
That's how interruptions come. It's this gnawing feeling like there's something more, but it's attached to what you love to do. You're passionate about. And so being interrupted, I want to know, is interruption a bad thing? Or is it a good thing?
Interruptions are a great thing.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes as we're living our day, and sometimes interruptions are small.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we're thinking, or I know we can at the church. Mm-hmm. I'm doing God's work.
Right.
I'm busy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm busy.
Right.
I'm busy.
Right.
And then a phone call comes. They'll say, Reverend Robb, do you have a moment? Can I talk to you? And I'm thinking, God, I've got so much work to do.
Right.
But what's God saying, this person needs you and needs your ear.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a small interruption.
Small.
But it's where God does God's best work. And when we do God's best work is when we tend to those interruptions in our lives where God is calling us maybe just to minister to someone on a one-to-one level.
Yes.
But also, I think that God calls, and that's why I wrote about these six characters, Abraham and Samuel and Esther and Mary Magdalene and Jonah and the beloved disciple and Esther. God interrupts each of their lives where they're just going about their own business, thinking that life, we're just doing life as usual.
Yeah.
God interrupts and has a plan for them that they could never imagine on their own. It's so much greater than they could ever think or dream of. And sometimes then, if you take that first step after listening to God's voice, taking that first step, it just keeps unfolding. For me, that call was not an immediate, Susan, I want you to be an ordained minister and become the senior associate minister of a really big church. Because I that would have been very intimidating for me. I grew up in a farming community of 350 people. I attended, was nurtured by this incredible community of faith that introduced me to Jesus. But as we may have said earlier, but it was one in which women would not have been called into ministry.
Right.
And so that would have never been on my radar screen.
Yes.
And I thought, how would God also call a woman at 43 years of age who'd not taken an exam in 20 years? How to call back into academic rigor, go back to school to get a Master's of Divinity.
Yes.
And then to serve at one of the largest United Methodist churches in the country, that would have just blown my mind. And so God let me step my toe into the water slowly.
Yes.
And so that call unfolded slowly. Yeah. And so it does for all of us, but we're all called.
Yeah. And I love that when you said how in God's calling, it's not based upon your age. You know, because sometimes we think, you know, my calling, I really didn't step into it until I was like 46 years old.
Right.
And so here I am 48, but God has no respect of age.
No.
Because when he calls you, it can interrupt your life at 48.
Yeah. Or 10.
Or 10.
Yes.
It doesn't matter.
Right. So you can be, and that's these characters we see in them again. Abraham's very old.
Yes.
Samuel's very young.
Yes.
These are people who just... no one would expect that they would do great things for God, and neither did they. Everyone looked at Mary Magdalene and thought, well, she's a woman. Women can't witness for the Lord. And yet, because she has such this close relationship with Jesus, because she listens so carefully to his voice, she is the one that Jesus calls to deliver the first sermon. I have seen the Lord.
Yes.
First sermon. She becomes what the early church fathers called the apostle to the apostles.
Come on now.
And so she would have been in that era least likely to have delivered a sermon, or least likely to have been called an apostle.
Yes.
And
yet
she was.
There we go.
And so are we, girls.
Yes. So are we. So I'm thinking, okay, so, you know, we have some listeners, they're listening, and they're like, okay, so you are telling me, and I want to bring that out because I don't want anybody listening thinking, oh, they're talking to the other people that are listening. No, we're talking to you.
Yes.
So you're telling me that I'm born on purpose.
Yes.
With a purpose.
Yes.
And that my calling is probably something grander than what I can even think of right now. So the Lord's going to take me, and I'm going to start, and I'm going to start moving, and it's going to be in the direction of something that I enjoy.
Yes.
Well, how do I get started moving? Are there daily practices? Are there, you know, where do I start?
Yeah, of course. There's
so good.
Well, this is yes, there's tons of practices. And again, I think you should probably go with something that's comfortable for you. But I love what John Wesley calls the means of grace, all these different ways that we can engage in order to hear God's voice. And that could be through prayer, through Bible study, whether alone or in a group, going to worship. Actually, I heard God's voice in a sacramental moment, in communion. So taking communion, through the creeds, through in nature. Sometimes I hear God more clearly when I'm in the mountains or on the beach than I do sometimes in the sanctuary. So reading, praying, being with other people, talking about scripture with other people, studying the Bible with other people. All of those are ways that we hear God's voice. And the more we engage in more of those, the more we're likely to hear God's voice in our lives. We put ourselves in places where maybe we can hear God's voice.
Yes. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I'm going to speak personally, then you can speak personally, Lisa. So personally, obviously, everyone knows that I love worship, and I love, you know, worshiping
music.
But I have to be careful to put myself in a spot where I am led in worship and not always, you know, doing the leading or not always serving in that capacity. Because I know that through prayer and worship for me, really opens me up to hearing the voice of the Lord in a certain way. So, So I have to be careful. What I'm saying is that I have to be careful to give myself extra time.
Yes.
Those of us that are in ministry, we're all working in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
And so we do this. We do this for our own lives because we have seen the hand of God working in our own lives.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I think most of the time, I think God speaks most clearly to me when I am alone and in prayer, or sometimes I'm walking and praying. Sometimes I'm sitting and reading a devotional. I have a whole collection of devotional books, of prayer books. I love reading other people's prayers because sometimes I think those other prayers that are written speak to you in ways that that you don't think of yourself.
Right.
So just a myriad of, as again, Wesley would say, means of grace.
Yes.
Listening to great worship music.
Yes.
You know, and I think that that comes from relationship, because that's the first thing that we must have with God is a relationship. So I think about my relationship with my husband or my relationship with my girlfriends. Relationship is all about reciprocity. You know, so as I go and I pray to God and I'm praying and asking him and seeking him, and then in return, I allow myself to be open for him to speak to me. And then I had to learn early on in my relationship with God, well, how does God speak? Is this Lisa, come over here and do this?
Because that's kind of what we imagine in our
heads. I mean, we've seen, you know, movies where we've heard God speaking, you know, Abraham, stay your hand.
You know?
But God speaks to us. It's our own voice. And it's according to our personality. And so you'll hear, Lisa, go over there and tell this young lady that I love her. So then you think, now Lisa wouldn't think that. Surely the devil wouldn't tell me to do that. Okay, God. And then you trust him because it comes in, hearing God's voice comes in stages. And so then you go out of obedience. Hi, excuse me. I know you don't know me, but I just wanted to come over here to let you know that God loves you. It doesn't matter what that person's response is. What matters is your obedience.
And so let's talk about that. So, because probably somebody's listening and freaking out. So let's talk about what is the harm? What is the harm in telling someone God loves them? Because that's building them up, encouraging them. A lot of times we don't follow that calling. We don't follow those nudges because we're like, no. What's the harm?
There is no harm in it. I believe that it goes back to the interruptions. And God's interruptions, they are taking us out of our comfort zone. Because it's comfortable to just mind our business, do what we need to do, go where we need to go. But when God calls us, he interrupts. And so then he pushes us out of our comfort zone. And then if you go tell the lady that I love her, I trusted you with that. Now I'm going to give you something else.
Absolutely. And, you know, I love what you said. Sometimes we do hear a thought.
Yes.
I have a thought that it's God speaking, like I did. But then it was reinforced by my husband. And sometimes it truly does come through other people. That's what I love about Esther's story. Do you know in the book of Esther, God is not mentioned one time? And I think there's a reason for that. And the reason is, in this story, is that God is working in and behind the scenes, like God, just like God works today. And Esther hears her call not through this voice in her head, but through the voice of her uncle saying, girlfriend, perhaps you were brought to royal dignity for just such a time as this. And if you don't stand up and speak up and say something, because her people were about to be murdered, if you don't stand up and speak up and say something, then don't think that deliverance won't come from another place. And we're all thinking, God. God's name isn't mentioned, but Mordecai says, don't think that God's deliverance won't come from another place, but girlfriend, you and I are going to perish right here where we are. So you need to do something. And that was God's call to her. So I love it that sometimes we hear that through other people. Little Samuel heard this voice he thought was Eli's different times. Sometimes God just has to keep on tapping and tapping and tapping. And you might hear through your aunt, then your uncle, then somebody at church. Carla, your voice is so amazing. You should be singing, girlfriend. You should be using that voice in worship.
I love that.
I do too.
So it's kind of like these interruptions.
Yes.
And we may be thinking we're in charge and we're plowing through our life, so interruption is going to be bad. But I love it that you say interruptions, that they're great. And I think they're a sign that God loves us. He loves us, that he'll speak to us in all of these different ways so that we'll hear.
Yes.
And the best way for us to hear and respond.
And I love it. And I love it because, and God doesn't stop. Until he gets your attention. Just like you said, you may hear it in your thought, and then you get in the car, and, you know, my favorite radio pastor is Pastor Joel Osteen, and the next thing you know, I hear a word, and I hear it again. And then I may get to church, I hear it again, or I'm in a conversation. Just like today, this morning, I know I need to write a book, but then here you're just talking.
Yes.
I just met you today.
Yeah.
And you said, well, this is how my book came about. OMG. God, you're so awesome. I hear you speaking. Now, I do have a question to ask Susan. So this book called, is this a book that I can read by myself, or can I read it with others? Can I start a women's group with this? Tell us, how can we do this?
All of the above.
Yay.
And this is, again, I think the beauty of God's call. I wrote this as a Bible study workbook for my Bible study. And when Abingdon Press saw it, they said, you know, we think this is going to work better as an actual chapter book. It will have a broader appeal. And so I want you to turn all of that, read this chapter, answer these questions, et cetera, turn all that into prose. Take those Bible stories and do a synopsis of that and turn that into prose and tell more personal stories. And so what the book is designed to be is so that you could sit down and read it by yourself and just contemplate on it. And how do each of these stories speak to me? How is God talking to me through each of these biblical characters and these stories? Or you could do it in a group, whether it's a small group or a Sunday morning class or a Bible study. It's really for all three, because there is an accompanying leader's guide. So if you wanted to take the book and lead a group and you're like, well, I don't know how to really do that myself, then the leader's guide would just help you ask the right questions. And, and what do you do once you have a group together? And there's a DVD also.
Awesome. Well, how do we get a hold of that? How would our listeners, I'm sure they're like, I want that book. How do I get it?
Well, I'm so thankful to Abingdon Press, because they've made it real easy for all of us to get. Of course, you can go online and get it at Amazon, Amazon.com, called Hearing and Responding to God's Voice. It's on also on AbingdonPress.com/called.
Okay.
It's locally in bookstores. So it is at Logos Bookstore in Snyder Plaza. And Terabang Books can get it for you. And Terabang Books is in Preston Hollow.
Okay.
And also Cokesbury. It's online through Cokesbury. I think Barnes & Noble has it as well. It's easy to get, and so Abingdon has made it really easy to get. We are also going to have a book event at the church where I'll be talking about the book, and they'll be on sale at the church, Highland Park United Methodist Church, on March the 19th at 7 o'clock, and we'd be able to find out details about that on our church's website, hpumc.org. But more fun than that is we're having a women's retreat.
Yay.
Awesome.
Yay.
You'll be there, right, Carla?
I'll be there.
Lisa, you're invited.
Come on, Lisa. I'm coming.
And all of you are invited.
Yes.
February 22nd and 23rd. So the evening of February 22nd and all day on the 23rd.
Yes.
At the church. We have childcare available. We're having a women's retreat, and the theme is called Worthy. Again, because so many women don't feel worthy of being.
Yes.
They don't feel worthy of becoming.
Yes.
And obviously, many women don't feel worthy of being called by God to a particular purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And women, you're worthy. For those of you women who are listening, you're worthy of all three. And so I'll be speaking I'll be one of the keynote speakers at the retreat, and the books will be on sale there as well. So we hope you'll join us, and you can register online at hpumc.org.
Yeah. Awesome. I love that. I love that. Worthy.
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 I love that, because when you get that and it's like, I am worthy.
Mm-hmm.
I am called. Doesn't matter what my background is. You know, when I did my radio interview here before, many listeners heard my testimony, my background. I'm an ex-drug dealer, gangbanger, you know, lived a very promiscuous life.
Mm-hmm.
But he called me.
Yeah. Yeah,
and and he let me know that I'm worthy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I have a purpose for you. And I want you to go back and get those who lived the life that you lived. And you can tell them, too, doesn't matter what you've done. Because God knows in his word, he says that he knows how to work all things together.
There you go.
For the good.
Yes.
Of those who are called according to God's
purpose. Yes, who are called.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Called according to God's purpose.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that. I was going to say one thing.
Yes.
According to what you said, but it left my mind real fast.
Can I say real quick while you're thinking?
Yes. Yes.
You know why else we're worthy? Yeah. We're worthy not because of what anyone else thinks of us.
Come on.
Or what we think of ourselves.
Come on.
But we are worthy because of the one who calls us.
Thank
the one
you,
who
Jesus.
Calls us makes me makes us worthy.
Thank you, Jesus.
And empowers us to live into that call.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. So so as you're listening, these are the these are the things to take away. You are definitely called. You are definitely worthy. And to start getting in the habit of doing those spiritual practices and sit in in those spaces. I love that you said, Susan, sometimes getting away, sitting at the beach and you know, all of that, and sitting in nature and just looking at the world that God has created. You can sit there and just in that stillness be open.
Be open.
Be open. Because, this is it, like you said, Lisa, it's a relationship. So there's going to be times when you're sharing and then there's going to be times when you're quiet and you're receiving.
And listening.
Yes.
And I think there was something that was said earlier too about being called. It doesn't always feel good.
Well, and even if the call feels good, sometimes we think oftentimes answering that call is risky, whether it's as simple as saying, like, go over there and tell that woman that I love her. Or for little Samuel, it was, you need to tell Eli that he and his sons are not going to be priests anymore because his sons have messed up and I can't have my temple being run like this. So sometimes answering our call is risky. It's risky. Putting a book out there, thinking, is anybody going to read this? And what will, but I know that this is in God's hands.
Yes.
And so when we know we're following God's call, sometimes it's easy and we feel God's pleasure. And sometimes it's risky. But once we follow that call, we know that we've done the right thing.
Yes.
And we do feel God's pleasure.
That's that. Okay. I think that says it right there, right?
Awesome.
That says right there. Thank you so much, Susan, for joining us, for joining
Thank
us on the on the radio show. Yes. We truly appreciate it. This was a wonderful conversation that I'm sure people will listen to over and over again. And we'll put all the information on our social media at EHEW Radio. You can also go to our website, ehewradio.com. Our radio show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit. Go to their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. Go to our podcast to catch any of our past shows, including Lisa McPhail's show.
Yay.
Thank you so much, Lisa, for being here.
Thanks for having me.
This was such a pleasure.
Thank you.
So everyone, we will see you back next week. Have a wonderful week.
BYE.
Every heart.